Good day and welcome to the Business Success Network podcast. I'm Stacey Calder, founder of the Business Success Network and magazine, and we help you to grow you and grow your business. We want to get you as visible as possible online, offline, and through events such as networking, awards, and conferences. If you're sitting here and listening to this and thinking this is a great show, we are looking for guests to be part of it. We want to hear your story and we want to share your information with the public. We want you to be as visible as possible. So join us over at the Business Success Network UK on Facebook, join the community, get the support, become a cheerleader for other small businesses, and we'll see you very soon.
Small business owner with big dreams but feeling stuck in the daily grind, then it's time to become the superhero of your own success story with me, Sheena Wyatt at Kapow Coaching. I'm here to help you fight off the villains of time, stress and overwhelm, and together we'll cut through the chaos, bring clarity to your path and unlock your true potential. If you're ready to step into your superpower and lead your business victory, then let's connect and start your journey to greatness today.
And welcome to this episode of the BSN podcast for disabled entrepreneurs. I am Jo O'Neill and I run Brightcat Business Solutions, and I'm also the community leader for the BSN Disabled Entrepreneurs Facebook group. Today I have Amanda McKinley with me. Amanda, would you like to introduce yourself and what you do?
Hi, Jo. Yes, so I am a wellbeing and creativity coach. I am based in Scotland, Paisley, just outside Glasgow. And wellbeing and creativity coaching involves a whole host of holistic, therapeutic, wellbeing related stuff. Everything from meditation and mindfulness through to working with crystals, working with angel cards, right the way through to doing therapeutic and recreational creativity. In other words, just loads of stuff that kind of support your wellbeing, mind, body, spirit, and are just about having fun.
That's the important bit, is having fun, obviously. When you're disabled, if you don't laugh, you cry.
Yeah.
And nobody wants that.
No. Although, well, we do have to say, if you need a cry once in a while, it's okay. Although I'm a bit positive mindset, we don't do toxic positivity.
No toxic positivity. You need to cry. Yes. Just the more general day-to-day. If you can find something to laugh at, I find it.
Yes, absolutely.
Even if it's yourself. Oh. Feel free to laugh at me.
Frequently.
So thank you for joining me, Amanda. I do love what you do, and I love your book as well, and we'll talk about that. But I'm going to actually start with the question that we ask everybody that comes on this podcast, and I usually have a nice chat before then, but I'm going to ask you it now. What does business success look like to you?
I think, see, because I do so many different things, it's a bit tricky to go, okay, it's because I don't do the niche thing. It's like I don't have asset type of client. I don't have, you know, it's not that. So on a day-to-day basis, it can be, you know, someone bought my book and it helped them. Yeah. Or someone had an angel card reading from me and it gave them clarity, it gave them information that helps them move forward. Success varies. That probably sounds really silly, but just success, what's a successful day or what's a successful week, varies depending on what I'm doing.
You take it as a day-to-day success. You're not looking at the big picture per se.
Uh-huh.
I like that. That's a lot more individual of did I help this person? Did I do what I could? I like that. That's very different from what we usually hear. It's usually along the lines of world domination.
No, I mean, don't get me wrong. That longer-term plans, there are things I would love to do on a bigger scale, but I do tend to kind of strip it back to the sort of the more individual one-on-one stuff sometimes.
That can be better in some ways, because as my coach will constantly tell me, celebrate the little wins.
Mm-hmm.
Don't wait for that big goal, because then you're always pushing and it could be quite difficult.
Yeah.
If you're celebrating the little wins, it's always that little uplift. Mm-hmm.
And the thing is, what's a little win because again, it's the wellbeing work I do, what's a little win for me could be huge for the person that I'm working with. That could be a huge difference for them.
Yeah, absolutely. So yeah, that's a good answer. Okay, so we've mentioned your book. Tell us about your book and why you wrote it.
So the book is How I Became a Butterfly, and it was my story of my fibromyalgia diagnosis, everything kind of falling away, the change, the journey I went through with that. And I know the whole journey thing is so cliche, but it was, you know.
It is a journey.
Yeah, it was a learning to do things different ways. It was a finding a new me, which again, I know is so cliche, but it was. It was like, because previously I was such a people pleaser. And I know we were kind of talking before we came on here about still doing stupid things occasionally.
We're doing those for us.
Yeah. But before, it's like, so looking at kind of that and sharing that stuff, and then sharing all the tools, the things that help me, like the meditation, like the angel stuff, like the crystals, like the creative stuff, and just kind of packaging it all up. And I was saying to someone the other day, I've actually packaged it up really well, I think, because you don't even have to read my story. Yeah. You don't have to get to know me if you're not interested in me, but you want the tools. You can just skip straight. You can skip straight to that section.
I do like that you split it that way. That it's like, this is my journey, this is my story, and this is how it can help you.
Yeah, and it's funny because when I initially did the book, I pitched it to Hay House, who might not mean anything to the average person, but Hay House Publishing are like the biggest mind, body and spirit publishing company probably in the world. They're like the best known. Yeah. Louise Hay set it up when she was 60. So like anyone who does the whole, I am too old to do X, Y and Z, But so initially I pitched it to them through one of their, I went to one of their writers' weekends and pitched to them. And one of the things they had said was about bringing the tools and stuff in. Earlier they had said about kind of in the feedback they gave me was about changing the layout and things like that. And this wasn't why I didn't get published through them. It was purely they gave feedback as a thanks but no thanks.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, just being kind. They were really kind with that actually. So it was like, yeah, that's fine, but I know how I want to do it, so, and it's my book.
Yeah. But no, I've got it in my head.
To be honest, although, and again, at the time I started the process, it was very much about wanting to be in that club and have that badge, because Louise Hay and a lot of the authors and kind of speakers who have inspired me, like David Hamilton, Kyle Gray, they've all got the Hay House badge. Yeah. So for me, and I know talking to another girl that went on the workshop as well, it was kind of that thing about to be seen as a successful and to be seen as a credible expert, I need that badge. Whereas it's like looking at the bigger picture, I'm actually probably glad I didn't win the competition, because it meant I kept more of the ownership, and being quite frankly, their royalties packages sucked.
Yeah. Yes, that's fair. And yeah, and it meant you could do it completely how you wanted without interference.
Because that's the thing, it's like I didn't even have, and this probably sounds incredibly unprofessional, but I'm among friends, I know that. I didn't even have the book edited.
Yeah.
I did a rough proofread, let a couple of people check it for what they thought, and that was it.
Yeah.
There's bits, as you've seen the book, you'll know there's bits where it's like I had a random thought while I was writing a bit, so I put it in that little kind of oh yeah, hang on, you know, or all right, yeah, I was going to tell you about this, but really I need to tell you about this now.
Yeah.
My friend's dad, bless him, he's in his 80s, and I didn't think he would have read it, but he did. And he said to her, do you know, it was just like having a conversation with Amanda. And loved that.
Well, I'd say that's a particularly interesting writing style, because, yeah, it is. You can see how your brain's going through the process. Uh-huh. And now you're going, no, I need to tell you about this.
Yeah, that was totally the way it happened, the way I did it. So, and it was, as I said, for somebody to say it felt like having a conversation was perfect, because that's what I want it to be like. I want it to be like we're just sitting like this,
yeah,
chatting it through.
I think there's definitely merit in it. Sorry, yawning. in the warring, I'm just very tired.
I get that one. See, this is the good thing about us both being spoonies. It's like, I don't get offended that you're yawning as we're talking about my book. I get it.
Exactly. I mean, I was talking to somebody I actually do associate work for yesterday. She was just checking in, asking how I was. I'm all right. I had a bad pain day yesterday. She's like, have you got fibromyalgia? So, yes. So do I. If you ever need to chat, you know my number. Yeah. It's like, I know a whole host of people, but thank you.
I think we do. Just, it's instinctive, the whole, if you need to chat, because it's so nice. I mean, I was so fortunate back at the start that I had friends that had it. I'd done the whole symptom bingo thing and that. So it's like, I was so fortunate that I had the friends. Yeah. And I do, that's something I touch on in the book as well. It's like, I have been so fortunate. I know my journey with fibro and to setting up the business is not, I had a good doctor. I had friends and family that understood. I was able to access, admittedly, loan funding, but I was still able to access support to start up. I've got good friends and good fellow business people around me now. So I know I'm really fortunate that way.
Yeah, I know I'd have struggled more if I didn't have the friends I do who understand. And my mum understands because she's been disabled for years as well, but my husband, it took a while for him to understand. But we came up with some ways of him understanding, which was quite pain and fatigue. He wanted to know how it affected me, what it was like. So he gave me a scale of 1 to 10, and he defined 1, 5, and 10. And he asked me to explain where I am on a good day, on a bad day, when I'm completely messed up. And using that sort of scale, he understood. And he actually, about a week ago, he said, I'm taking over the washing, you're getting worse, and it's something I can do. And I felt so seen, because I didn't ask him, I didn't mention it. He's just like, no, I can do this. And it's just little things like that.
Yeah.
Attention, all business owners. Are you ready to elevate your marketing game? Meet Escape the Village, based in the heart of Wiltshire and with national coverage. With over 30 years of experience, Liz and her team specialise in crafting tailored marketing strategies just for you. From websites to SEO and content creation to social media management, we have everything you need to grow your business. Whether you're in rural, equine, or the agricultural sector, we understand your unique challenges and are here to support you. So why wait? Visit escapethevillage.com today and let us help you escape ordinary marketing.
You're doing all this stuff. It's all lots of different stuff, but it's all along the same lines.
Yeah.
What are your plans for the future?
So am I allowed to do another book plug here?
Yeah, go play a book.
I am just about to launch my new colouring book.
Ooh.
It's an art. And it is the first, I've done a couple of colouring books before with they were white label products, the ones where you buy the photos, tweak it a bit, make it look like yours. And in doing them, I went, I do creative stuff. I really want to put some of my own artwork out there.
Yeah.
Which was a big confidence step for me because I didn't do art at school. Although I do creative coaching, I run art groups, I run sorts. I don't have any art qualifications, but neither do I. If you look at all there's so many artists are self-taught, so it's like, And if I'm encouraging people to be creative and just do it for the fun, it's then a bit hypocritical to go, oh, no, I don't know if they're good enough to do it. So it's the first one I've done with all my own artwork.
Yeah, that's amazing. And you have to remember that art is subjective.
Good.
People's got to do.
In workshops and stuff I've done, I say that all the time. It's like Tracy Emin won an award for an unmade bed. Damien Hirst cut a cow in half, put it in chemicals, and it got played in the gallery. I love Frida Kahlo's work.
Yep.
Some of that is deeply weird.
Yeah.
But there are stories, and there, especially with hers with the chronic pain stuff, there's stories and there's a resonance, I think, with hers. But yeah, so good and bad. And I tell people that all the time. When it comes to creative stuff, it's like when you were a child, you didn't care. We just did it. it's schooling and growing up that coaches and takes the fun out of it.
It is. And it's like, so long as you're enjoying what you're doing and you're proud of it.
Yeah. And, and I've kind of made the point in this. Some of the drawings are a bit skewish. Some of the lines aren't perfect. But it's the process. You want the process rather than perfection. And that's the same across the board. That's a not just a creative thing. If you spend, in any business stuff, I think if you spend so much time looking for perfection, you're never going to be ready. You're never going to get it done.
Nothing will ever launch.
Yeah,
ever.
Sometimes you're better, I think anyway, just putting the rough and ready, authentic work out there.
The motto of our house is done is better than perfect.
Yeah, because perfect might never happen.
No, perfect doesn't happen because it's an ideal in your head that even if you reach it, you won't think you have because you've moved on. It's more perfect.
Exactly. And I acknowledge that and just said it's about the process. Yeah. So it's all different artwork, working with affirmations, which I love, going back to the Hay House and the Louise Hay thing, the whole fake it till you make it, but loosely, it's like instead of saying I want to be more confident, I want to be, you do that, I am, and program, you're kind of programming your brain.
I don't see it so much as, it is a little bit faking it, but it's more fake it till you believe it.
Yeah.
Rather than an outward faking.
Yeah. Because, and again, we were talking beforehand about how up until I'm doing a blog bit now on kind of confidence and presenting myself and putting myself out there on things like this. And it's like how that wouldn't have happened before because I had such a preconceived idea of how I should present myself. And because the fibro causes cognitive issues, and because I'll waffle and because I'll stammer and it was just, that doesn't look professional, so I won't do it.
Yeah.
But sometimes, and as I said, people will kind of remark on that's what they like about me, that it's not super polished. It's just me. You know, what you see on a video will be exactly what you see if you stop me in the street and have a conversation.
Yeah. I mean, when I started out in business, I still looked quite corporate because that's what I thought people would expect.
Mm-hmm.
All the networking meetings I went to, everybody was suited and booted and polished.
Yeah.
It took me a good 18 months to go, this is not me. It's never been me. I've always hated it.
Mm-hmm.
And decided I was going to be me. And obviously I've done a lot better since then because I am quite a no-nonsense person. And as the fibros got worse, I've started with a brain fog and stuttering and just completely forgetting where I'm going. And I did a podcast the other day. That was fun. And it just... it flows so much better. If you're comfortable in your own skin, you will present yourself so much better.
Yeah. And doing stuff, I'll always say to people, if it's like my own video, if my own Facebook Lives, I'm telling people right away, if I'm making a note or whatever, it's like fibro fog. Everybody does it. Everybody has points where they lose focus, where they lose their train of thought. Because I was talking to somebody the other day, I remember being at a Wet with Wet concert, and it was Marty Pello, and he's like that. I was going to say something there, and it's completely gone out of my head. But whatever it was, I'm sure it was going to be really impactful and change all your lives. And as soon as I remember what it was, I will get right back to you.
Yeah.
And then just moved on to the next song.
Yeah.
So it's, everybody does. Everybody has those moments. Disabled, not. Neurodivergent, not. Everybody has those moments.
Yeah, we do. Just, I think possibly as disabled people, we might be more aware of them, or they might happen more often, or we beat ourselves up over it.
Yeah, I think it's the last one.
Especially as it may not be how we used to be. It's part of that grieving process and relearning. Yeah. This is how I am now.
Yeah. No, and I mean, it is, it's totally a, this is how I am now, and acceptance, because I mean, I've been doing some, I did something for somebody else, it was on acceptance, and that's the thing, it's like, this is me as I am, and that's still valid, that's still okay, maybe you're not as polished, but the person that you think is polished, a lot of the time, they're not either.
No, they used to be a nervous wreck.
Yeah, because I remember at one point, and it was one of the things that flipped the switch for me in terms of the like video stuff, was the guy I've done all my like my angel and my spiritual side training with, Kyle Gray. He'd put an Instagram video up and he went, this took 28 takes to get right. And I went, oh, okay. Because you don't see that. You don't, you know, you don't see all the outtakes and stuff unless people want to show you them. So for me, that was I thought he was a one-take person.
Yeah.
You don't see it. So that's then it's that invisible, not invisible disability, it's that invisible thing of what you don't see.
It's the Instagram effect of everything's perfect, everybody's life's great, because you don't see everything else going on in the background. It's just the polished, this is what I'm putting out. I mean, I used to, I get that. But the more I've accepted who I am, it's more, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to show you me.
Yeah.
Do you know, all.
Mm-hmm. Authenticity is a lot less work.
It is. It is. I'm better.
It is so much easier. Authenticity is just so much easier. And if people, the authentic you, then they're not your people. They're not your... If it rubs them up the wrong way when you're networking with them, then, well, you don't want to do business with somebody like that.
No.
If a client is put off working with you because of how you present or because you have health issues, well, then you don't want to be... You don't want to... That's not your client either.
No. They're not your people. They can go find their people. I will wait for mine.
And I know that's, again, that's not probably good business sense. But do you genuinely want to be working with people who you're not comfortable with, because you're not going to do your best work?
Yeah, so you're not doing your best work. It's going to be harder on both of you. And it'll just diminish your capacity to do more. So no, it's like, understand when people are not your people, and that's okay.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
On track with the questions?
We are on track. We've got one more.
I just thought the conversation appeared to have gone completely off what you'd sent me.
It does. Every time. It's fine. That's the whole point. I've got four questions and we'll chat and ramble and see where it goes.
Yeah.
It's gone to some strange places this week. So, yeah, my last question for you is, do you have any top tips to share? This can be life, business, disability, anything you want.
I think we've kind of covered a few things, and it would be the authenticity thing. It would be the be yourself, don't be honest. I mean, I think in terms of the work I do, the wellbeing stuff, I will share if I'm having a PJ day or if I'm having issues with my fibro, I'll share that, because then potential clients and people who are following my work can see that I've been there.
Yeah.
So again, it goes back to that authenticity thing. It's like focus on being authentic rather than being perfect.
Yeah, I have found all my clients, if I'm having a bad flare-up, I will let them know and that things might take a few days longer, taking some time out just to settle things down. Mm-hmm. And they tell me off for telling them and not resting.
Yeah.
It's like, rest.
I think that's the biggest thing. It's like, be yourself.
Yeah.
Most people that are self-employed, especially those with disabilities and with health conditions, we started these businesses to work for us.
Yeah.
Not really for anybody else at the end of the day. So stick with that. Stick with you. Be you. Do you.
Yeah. I mean, most business owners say they started their business to work for themselves and work less, and now they can work anytime they want, 24/7.
Yeah.
Which is true to a point, but when you're disabled, you have to look after you, because you're usually the driving force behind your business.
Yeah, and that's the thing, is, again, for me, as I say to people with mine, it's like nobody's going to want to work with a sick wellbeing coach. So I have to be seen to walk the, I have to walk the talk.
Yeah, you've got to. It just doesn't work any other way. Mm. At least that way, you're putting you first.
Yeah, and that makes me then better placed to serve others.
Yeah. And remind them that they need to put themselves first. Awesome. So you've plugged your books. Plug everything else. Where can people find you?
Easiest way is just Google or whatever search engine you prefer. Other search engines are available, I believe.
No, they're not. They are, but don't use them.
Basically, just look for the Butterfly Room Paisley, or on socials, it's usually Amanda Butterfly Room. Either one of those two tends to help you find me.
That's usually how I find you, when I'm tagging you with things.
Instagram, Facebook, Twitter sometimes, although, to be honest, the only thing that's keeping me on Twitter is the SDS stuff. Otherwise, I would have ditched it long ago. Talk, YouTube, As I said, shameless promotion.
Yeah, Amanda is everywhere. Go find her.
Pretty much.
I follow that doctrine myself.
But yes, you never know where people are going to need to see you. So if you can be in many places, then be there.
It's like when people ask me which social should they be on. It's like, wherever your clients are, wherever you've got the energy to post to, you don't have different content for everyone.
And don't overthink the content either, because I've given up with that one. So I put a picture up the other day of a billboard I've got, local business improvement district organisation, run a billboard campaign twice a year. So I've got a lovely big shiny billboard for free. Well, basically you pay your bid membership, but that's it. So basically £4,000 billboard twice a year for pennies. But I put a post up about it.
I would have done.
Yeah. So it was like, here's a photo of the... But I have done much more imaginative posts and got tumbleweed. This was just like, oh, look at this billboard. And there were people commenting on it who I didn't know still liked my page.
I've moved completely to lazy marketing because I'm nearly at capacity with clients.
Uh-huh.
I've taken the content and mostly Ben's created over the last 8 months, first 8 months of the year, took out everything that I don't need to put too much time into and stuck it in automated. And the only thing I've got left to do is put out the podcast on automated. Yeah. And I haven't got time for that.
Yeah, it's like, that's what I said about with my tip, but like, do what works for you, because you need to. So it's like, if that's what works, then that's what you do.
If it comes to a time where like I drop a few clients and I need to find some more, I'll switch it up a bit and if I've got inspiration and there's something I must share, I'll put it out.
Yeah, I do that. I'm so much more instinctive. It's just that, oh, that would make a good poster, or that would, I'll share that. No, I won't share that. It isn't share. I don't schedule. It's just, it happens when it happens.
And it's like, my stuff is scheduling. It's rolling out. I don't need to think about it. If I want to add something in, I can. If I don't, but there's still something going out. So I'm still visible. It's like, at the moment, I'm not really doing any networking. I'm doing a lot of podcasts, but not networking. But I'll pick that up as and when I've got time.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah. But it's all about being visible, but in a way that works for you.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. Anyway, thank you very much for joining me, Amanda. We rambled on quite a lot. It was good.
I know. Hopefully there's something useful in this. I know it's for like 26 minutes. It'll probably edit down to 6 minutes of usable content.
Oh, no, it's fine. The video goes straight out onto YouTube. It doesn't get edited.
We like that.
The audio does, but Gary's pretty good. I think there's plenty of good things in there. I will put all your links in the show notes and links for the BSN. Please come join us in the Facebook group for disabled entrepreneurs.
It's a fantastic group to be part of. Honestly, it's such a nice bunch. And again, it's people that get the everyday business challenges, but get the extra stuff as well.
Yeah, I like the fact that people will support each other, and everybody understands. Even the people that aren't disabled in there who support them, or they've got clients who are, and they're just there to be everybody's cheerleaders. And I love that. So, please do come join us. I'll put that link in the show notes as well. And join me next time for my next podcast with, I can't remember who, but a lovely guest. Thank you again, Amanda.
Thank you. Take care. Bye.
So, you've been listening to the Business Success Network podcast. I hope you have enjoyed this episode. Please do go and check out all the other episodes that we offer. We've got a great range of guests that have gone before us and that are coming up. And if you want to get involved in the Business Success Network, you can find us at www.businesssuccessnetwork.co.uk. There's loads of ways you can get involved, whether that's from contributing to our business magazine, or whether that's getting involved in the podcast. We are here to showcase your expertise and help you to grow you and grow your business.